Hey everybody, this is So Many Sequels. I'm Josh.
I'm Garrett.
And I'm tired. No, I'm just kidding. I'm David.
Yes, welcome to special late night edition of So Many Sequels. This is our annual Oscars recap. We watch the show for you, with you, because of you, I don't know. But we watch the show. So we're going to talk about what happened. Who won, who didn't win. What we liked, what we didn't like, how we felt about the new time change, but maybe not the one you think. I don't know. There's a lot to go over. We're going to get into the winners and stuff later, but first, we're just going to kind of talk about the show as a whole. Now, I wanted to kick it off because you guys watched it at home. I didn't. I got to go to Circle Cinema's Red Carpet Experience, which is their annual members event where they literally roll out the red carpet. And they show the awards ceremony on the big screen. Everybody's encouraged to dress up fancy-like. They got food, desserts, popcorn, gourmet popcorn. It's a fun night. So I always like to recommend if you're into the awards at all, go watch them at Circle's event. It's really fun every year. It's nice to kind of be in a crowd because people will, you know, they get into it. They clap as if they're in the audience. They jeer and cheer and nobody really boos, but
I am interested to hear how some of these different things we're going to talk about went over.
Exactly. So it was a fun experience for me to see that in a theater space, and I think based on the reaction, people seem to enjoy the show overall. What about you guys?
I think this is the best Academy Awards I've watched in years.
Ever.
Maybe, I don't know. I've not watched all of them. I've maybe watched 12 of them ever. And I thought this one had... It started slow. It started slow, I'll be honest. When they didn't announce the first winner until the 25-minute mark, I was like, oh.
I feel sense there were some technical difficulties. In the first
there bit. Was something because they didn't start they started five
they
minutes
started late so and then there were start. Some definite weird there was some weird vibes in the first 20 minutes
but other than that, I mean, so we'll just mention this now, they did start early as a whole, the show, not that they started late, but they there was an hour earlier to begin with. I thought that helped a lot. I mean, we were done by 9:35 here on the central time zone,
on the central coast,
and so
here.
I would think they had the Central Coast, and I thought that it was funny at times. I thought that it was pretty brisk overall. I enjoyed some of the different things. So overall, I rate this one pretty highly.
Yeah, I tend to agree. It was really, it felt like it was a show, you know, and they did a good job of putting some effort into it, and the bits were funny, and sometimes they fall flat. It seemed to... I don't know, people seem to have put thought into it this year, and that was really nice to see. Way to go, producers. I'm really proud of you. They tried some new things, and man, see what happens if you just maybe go back and look at like what people liked back in the day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, I think at this point, with all the controversy that they've had in the past, it's time to just let Kimmel be the host as long as he wants to be. He's totally inoffensive at it. He's good at it. I don't think anyone feels strongly one way or another about Kimmel. So
I think
let
somebody
him be doing...
does feel strongly one way or another about Kimmel, as you may have seen on tonight's show.
Yes, a certain former game show host seems to be pretty rattled. You guys probably saw that. You guys probably saw that.
I can't remember how many he's done now, but he's polished, you know.
He's good at it.
This is not a Golden Globe situation. We're able to get through the show. He has a sense of humor. Everybody seems comfortable with Kimmel. He has people understand his bits a little bit, you know. Everybody knows about the Matt Damon stuff, so it makes, you know, it doesn't come across awkward, so yeah. So yeah, give it to Kimmel.
Yeah, and he does really good bits with other celebrities. He's got some great moments in the show. You know, he had a good back and forth with Robert Downey Jr. I thought that was pretty fun. Seemed like RDJ got into it toward the end there. He also had a really great moment that I, I, I gotta think it went viral somehow because I've seen screenshots of it already all over the place, which is Naked John Cena. Naked yes. John
oh,
Cena.
Oh, Naked John Cena was a great bit.
Great bit. Demonstrating the importance of costumes.
You just, yes.
And that man, I'm sure he wasn't fully naked, but he was dang near it. You know what I mean?
I do think it was like a prosthetic perhaps? Lower. I think like actually, if you look at his like stomach line, I think it was. I think like if you look at his stomach line, I think it was a prosthetic around his waist down to like around his thighs, and then just blended in really well with makeup. Like that's how good. That's,
check the
that's
tapes.
How good. Good. I think if you look at it, because if you look at his hips and you look at like his lower the lower part of his belly, it just doesn't quite look natural. Something's a little off.
But David, neither does saying, his David, upper body or his lower body or his any no, other part of his jacked. Body does that look natural.
No part of John Cena looks natural.
Dude shredded like a Julian salad. You know, he don't want he's no bread, it. No water. He only wants meat. It was and honestly, but the dude's comedic timing was very present because when he got up there and he stood and he just went. Costumes. Everybody lost it. Now, Josh, how'd that play at the Circle Cinema?
It was pretty good. You know, the bits went over well at Circle. The crowd loved Naked John Cena. Oh my goodness, a lot of laughs. Another one that got a nice reaction from the crowd and from me was when when they had the twins reunion and yes. Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger came out. And I'm thinking, okay, twins reunion. No, they made it about Batman, which was even better. When Arnold was like, yes. We both tried to kill Batman, I lost it. And then when they cut to Keaton, I really lost it.
Keaton yeah. Just, and hearing Arnold say Batman's a son of a bitch was just, was just poetry, you know.
Because it was so understated the way he did it. Because they did this thing, like they had this bit where Arnold was like, he attacked my one true weakness. And he goes, heat? And he goes, no, love. And he goes, ha, he threw me out a window. And yeah, then he just goes, Batman's a son of a bitch.
It's so good.
That was great.
I can't do Schwarzenegger. That should be obvious.
I appreciated the David Alan Greer of the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, you thank called you, out thank David you very Alan much. Greer in our Discord. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was listening mm-hmm. to the show, and I was like, I recognize that voice. And I was like, is that David Alan Greer? And sure enough, he was the voice of the Oscars. And I was pleasantly surprised. He's got such a like nice little reassuring voice. You know, David Alan Greer grew up watching In Living Color, and so mm-hmm. he's always been a part of my... He's like older Keenan, you know? He's just always mm-hmm. been in my... He's always been on TV since I've been alive. And
he's a great...
It's just nice to see him on the Oscars stage. That was fantastic.
A great sort of like, you know, second person to Kimmel for this, you know, because Kimmel had kind of, but Gura came out and did some actual, like, actual, you know,
yeah, he got camera time later. I thought that
announcing.
Was nice too. He was great at it.
So that was great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been big on David Alan Greer. He was in Return to Me. He was in Jumanji last year. We've had a few great run-ins with David Alan Greer over the last
That's
year.
That's true.
This is the David Alan Greer Stan podcast.
He's a sleeper hit in this podcast. I didn't realize that. I can't wait to see our Wrapped this year to see how many David Alan Greer
David Alan Greer films we watch.
Does this mean I get to do Blank Man soon?
Soon. Yeah, you know, well, yeah, define soon. So one other big change I kind of wanted to wrap this conversation on, because I think it was really nice, was the major acting awards this year were presented by the five previous winners of the award. Which
or at least five previous winners.
Yeah, which they had done several years ago, one time. Mm-hmm. And people seemed to really like it then, but they never brought it back for some reason. Until now, they decided to do it again. And David, you also called out in the Discord that it made you feel pretty good, which surprised me yeah. because you just don't like these shows at all. So for you to feel good about any moment in them, I think is genuinely an impressive thing.
Hey, when I saw five people come out to present one award, I thought, oh, no. I thought this is going to be a marathon. They started an hour early so they could go an hour long. But what made it work was just how well executed those segments were. Everyone had a little bit to say. They had an individual message for each award or for each award nominee, you know, and they... The first ones seemed so genuine. Every one of the people who were up there were talking to the nominee, like they were their friend. And like I think it was Lupita Nyong'o speaking to Divine. It was emotional. Later, when Ki Hoi Kwan was talking to Sterling K. Brown, I think it was, it just felt so genuine. Even if it wasn't, even if it turns out they never met each other and all this stuff was just scripting, whatever. It felt so authentic and so genuine during a show that can sometimes come across very fake, you know, very, very self-congratulatory. This felt genuinely like people talking to their peers and just giving them their flowers, even if they only one of them could win. So, yeah, so I actually really appreciated that this year.
Did you have a favorite one, Garrett?
No, I agree. I liked it all a lot. You know, again, David, even if it is scripted and actors, I mean, that's why those people won those awards. They're very good at doing what they do. So that puts that on display. But I think that my assumption is they didn't bring it back because it could have been too long. But the fact that they did start an hour earlier, and I think they added an extra 30 minutes like in the actual runtime. And so I think that was really a good idea, honestly, in the long run, because it made those moments feel not as long. I wasn't waiting. I was not like, oh my God, shut up and just move on. Right. And that's how I am a lot of those times.
All right. Let's go ahead and get into the real stuff. I'm excited to talk about the awards now. The 96th Academy Awards. Very exciting. We're not going to talk about every award because we don't want to do that. But we're going to talk about the big ones, some of the big ones. That's it. However, first, we got to talk about the friendly competition that we like to do every year, where if you join our Discord, which you can do by signing up for our Patreon, or you could find my thread where I maybe said something about let me know if you want in, and I don't know, maybe something could happen if you find that. But we were talking on Discord, and we have set up a Pick'em Fantasy League for Oscars, which is a cool thing that ESPN does. You know, they have their fantasy leagues all throughout the year. They also do them for the Oscars. So we did that this year, and the results are in, guys. How do you feel you did personally? First, let me just, you know what? Let's just cut to the chase. I won. I beat you guys. Mm-hmm.
Pretty handily, honestly.
Of the show here, David, you were second, and Garrett, you were third. Let's talk about your picks. What went wrong, guys? What went wrong?
Mostly poor
Oppenheimer
things.
Oppenheimer blew up in my face.
It did. People who convinced me that Oppenheimer was just going to sweep these awards, I resent like Garrett. You. Garrett and Josh, both of you, I resent you tremendously. However, Oppenheimer wasn't the reason I lost. The reason I lost was because Poor Things, we'll talk about it later, cleaned up in the production categories. The various awards I picked there, like that was three losses. Just right. If I had picked those right, I would be just behind Josh. I'd be like two wins behind. But so that's what went wrong for me. Poor Things performing better than I expected in those production based categories.
And see, for me, it was just going against my own instincts, because I'm still not necessarily used to, even if it is slowly changing, the changing of the Oscar Academy, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, it just seems this Oppenheimer is just one of the traditional movies that would come in and just sweep up everything. And you know, looking back at having seen Oppenheimer and Poor Things, you know, the set design and the production value that went into Poor Things was just truly astounding. Mm-hmm. And that's not taking anything away from what Oppenheimer did, but like, man, it was so creative and inventive and new. And I think that matters. It's not just a matter of recreating some kind of historical thing. That's amazing and wonderful in and of itself. But like, I think the Poor Things, I think it really deserved it. And I think I just let myself believe that the Oscars were going to be the Oscars.
Yeah. And similarly, I think it was Mike Brower in our Discord, which you can, like Josh said, you can join our Discord if you're interested. He talked about the growing international presence at the Academy Awards. So that may have played a part. But yeah, I don't know. Just it did better than I thought. Now, not that I think it's bad. It just did better than I thought it was going to do. In fact, I believe that Oppenheimer had the most awards with 7. Poor Things took home 4, and then Zone of Interest took home 2. Those are your multi-award winners. There, obviously, several other awards went out to people, but all the every other movie only won once. So that's kind of those are kind of the movies of the show, I think.
Yeah.
But what about you, Josh? You were the dominant winner. How did you do? How did you do? How did you pick them so well?
Well, you know, this is what I do, as former President Obama would say, as he swishes. This is what I do. No, I kid. I only won last year. No, I kid again.
You did your back to backs.
I don't know.
You know,
I read a lot. I listen to other podcasts. I get a feel for what's happening. Mm-hmm. That's all. But I did. There was still some surprises. You know, I did not expect. You know, The Boy and the Heron. I forgot the name for a second. I did not expect The Boy and the Heron to win. Mm-hmm.
That was my upset pick, and I was really I wasn't too surprised by that one. I really had I heard so many good things mm-hmm. to say about that one, and I heard rumblings that it could be nominated for Best Picture, so I wasn't surprised that one took it.
Yeah,
I was a little surprised. Only, I mean, like, not because I don't think it's a good movie. Like, it's probably should win. It fully deserves to win. It's earned it, but the Academy has always notoriously not invested in the animated category. There have been multiple confirmed instances of people saying, I don't watch the best animated category. I just ask my kids what was their favorite movie. And so, like, I really thought that Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse was going to get this just because that was probably the most popular mainstream animated film of 2023. So I am genuinely surprised. I am very happy. Another award for Studio Ghibli, I believe, and Miyazaki. They won the first ever Best Animated Feature at the Academy Awards. So that's really cool. But yes, I also was surprised there.
I was pleasantly surprised to see Godzilla Minus One take home that mm-hmm. Best Visual Effects Award. Did you guys get to see that?
Never no, it's on my list.
Cannot recommend it enough. Like, it's just a fun Godzilla movie. Like, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's totally different from the American Godzilla movies that we're in the middle of now. It is just something completely different, and I really loved it.
Yeah, and I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe this is the first time a Godzilla film has ever won an Academy Award in any shape or form. So that's really impressive for this, you know, something that is an iconic piece of cinema history. Godzilla mm-hmm. gets this recognition.
Did you guys see when the team had the Godzilla toys?
Yes, they all brought them up there with
us. Yes, me and Andrew were like, yes, the toys. Yes. I remember playing with Godzilla toys back when that Matthew Broderick movie came out.
But I was glad. This is another pick I had, so I had a good feeling.
So one of the first big awards of the night, or the first big award of the night, was Best Supporting mm-hmm. Actress, which was presented to Divine Joy Randolph mm-hmm. from The Holdovers. Mm-hmm. This was a movie that kind of came out of nowhere for us on this show. You know, other people mm-hmm. I think may have known it was coming, but we all were really surprised by how much we liked it. How did you guys feel about her win? I think we all were expecting her to take it, right?
Yeah, yep. She was on my list of picks, and I was glad that she won. She was so good in that mm-hmm. movie, and her speech was wonderful. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. honestly, for me, I think it was my favorite speech of the night. Mm-hmm.
It was very good.
It was, and she had a great intro. I mean, she had a great before her speech. She got really choked up from her presentation, or like her whatever you want to call that, her little praise mm-hmm. that she got beforehand. I also picked this. I thought it was pretty much between her and Emily Blunt, and so I've kind of felt like the Academy could go either way with this, and so I'm glad they went with Divine. I thought that was a really standout performance in The Holdovers, which is facing its own weird controversy right now, which maybe we'll talk about another time. But it's great to see that at the end of the day, the performances of that movie kind of were a big element of why it was so good.
Yeah, that was another fun bit that Kimmel got to have after that award, when he kind of called her out for mentioning the publicist, and then yeah. she did get a chance to sort of name them, if you're able to lip read at least.
Yes, and then everybody, many other people mentioned their publicist.
Yeah, so everybody, it was like the floodgates opened. That made, for a second, I was like, oh, I think that really touched a nerve with people. Like, because they're like saying their agents and stuff now.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit, well, she said it. I don't know. Next, though, this is a big one. Best Supporting Actor. It's been a long time coming. Robert Downey Jr. Takes home the trophy for his role in Oppenheimer. Oh my God, Garrett.
You got a laser show.
What happened? I have my video hidden.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
For the audio listeners, you really have to watch these on YouTube, because the program we use to record these has these hidden features where if you make hand gestures, crazy things happen.
That was
it always happened with Garrett.
That was a brand new one, I think. I've never seen that.
He put up a double horns and a laser show started behind him.
Yeah.
That's wild. Anyway, back to Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr., a man who many say should have been nominated or should have won for his portrayal of Tony Stark. This was his third nomination, his first win. What'd you guys think about the speech? He started by, he wanted to thank his childhood trauma, which is always funny.
Yes. You know, Downey Jr. Feels like he is so comfortable. Like, this is probably the biggest, I mean, what is this? This is the first time he's won an Academy Award, so this is, in theory, one of the biggest achievements of his life. And he's just got up there as though he had just won a Nickelodeon Award, you know? Like, he was so comfortable, so relaxed. And I think he kind of mentioned his entertainment doctor or whatever. Like, he was so happy. I think he's just so happy that he got his career back, you know, after the tumultuous time in the early 2000s, late 90s, that time frame, whenever it was.
He had a few tumultuous periods, I think.
He did. Yeah. And I think everybody's always known that Robert Downey Jr. is a great actor, and this is just nice to be able to have.
Is he Tony Stark, or is Tony Stark Robert Downey Jr.? Who knows? Rockstar DJ is the man of the hour. Mm-hmm. You know, he's our generation's like George Clooney level of movie star, at least I think as far as the cool factor that he brings, and he's just, you know, him all of the time, and I love that he got his flowers, well deserved. I do wish, you know, again, I'm one of those people who was like, did you see Endgame? He was great.
Yeah.
He should have got an actor. He should have got an Oscar
just
for
something,
that.
Something.
But he got it for this, I'm happy for him.
I'll tell you what, though. I've seen Oppenheimer. We've all seen Oppenheimer. His performance as Louis Strauss is really, really good. It's a great performance. He does stand out as one of the best things about that movie. Great job. So I think this is deserved.
Yeah, speaking of Oppenheimer, another big acting award for the night, Best Actor, went to Cillian Murphy for his portrayal of Robert Oppenheimer. This was another award where a lot of people felt like it was time for Cillian to win an Oscar, that, you know, he was another first-time win. A lot of first-time wins tonight, I also wanted to mention, and that's also really cool to see. A lot of first-time nominees and wins. But Cillian Murphy, what'd you guys think? I gotta be honest, I did pick him, but he was not my favorite, personally.
Yeah, who would you have gone with?
I do think
I would have voted Giamatti if I were a member of the Academy. But I'm not. Yet.
I think that he was so good at just bringing that character to life. You know, there's always a question of, is it best acting when you're playing a real person? You know, that was, I think, Gary Oldman, when he won Best Actor, when he played Churchill. I think he won for that, you know. And that was a big question for them. It's like, you know, it's easy to put on a historical person that people are familiar with and act. But I think that this story in of itself is just so big. And to be able to personify that and bring that to life is really impressive. And so you know, I think other actors may have given a more enjoyable performance just based on the movie itself, but I think that he did such a good job that it's a really well-deserved one.
I think that it is like, I think it is a great performance worthy of the nomination. I think that it is, it really is one of those things. Sometimes it always elevates a performance to me is when you see the real person like outside and you hear that Irish accent and you sort of see how kind he is. And then to see the transformation into the Oppenheimer character and the voice and all of that stuff, the posture, it's a different thing. So, I mean, I think that helps a lot. I really think that Giamatti or Jeffrey Wright, either one, would have been happy with those. I mean, I would have been happy with Coleman Domingo as well. But I do think that a big part of why him in Oppenheimer stands out is because he is in a lot of the movie. Like he does, like whereas we talked about with other actors, how they're not, maybe their performance wasn't long enough to have the kind of staying power. He's in almost every scene of the movie, you know? So it is a, like you're constantly with him in his head in some form or another. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that's a big part of why he won this year.
Yeah, I certainly don't think it's undeserved, even if I may not have voted for him. You know, if this was a, are the Oscars a ranked choice situation? I think they might be.
They might be.
In which case, he would probably be my second choice. But so not undeserved at all. I loved Oppenheimer and his performance in it. The final acting category of the night is Best Actress. And that was a bit of an upset, I think, depending on who you talk to. A lot of folks were calling this the Lily Gladstone's Award before it had been won. And that is, you know, that doesn't always go as you expect. And instead, Emma Stone won Best Actress for her role in Poor Things. Any reaction to that? I will say... you know, I personally was rooting for Lily, but I'm not upset at all to see Emma Stone honored here. I think it's well deserved. The people at the crowd at Circle, I think, were a little disappointed, but that's again to be expected. A lot of personal investment here with the people in Oklahoma, and it's just great to see her and the movie honored either way. So how'd you guys feel with this award?
Ooh, yeah, I think it was definitely a surprise just because Lily Gladstone had won most of the awards on the circuit. But I think you're right, Josh. I think that, I mean, both of these performances were just so good. And so I'm not upset that Emma Stone won. I'm just a little surprised, I think, more than anything else. And I think there's a danger that we get in maybe... preparing ourselves to expect a certain performer to win. I mean, look at what happened going back to Chadwick Boseman and Anthony Hopkins. Anthony Hopkins gave an incredible performance in that movie, and so did Chadwick Boseman. And so that is, you know, people can be recognized and maybe not win, and that just kind of sucks, you know. And this is one where, you know, one performance in this award show got more votes than the other one. It doesn't take away from Lily Gladstone's performance. It just also means that Emma Stone was recognized for her great performance as well. So it's a tough one for sure. But I do think that Emma Stone really gave an incredible performance. So I'm not upset that she won an award for that.
Well, I wouldn't be upset that she won either. You guys saw both these performances. I have not. So like this was kind of a blind vote for me. That said, I don't think this was an upset. I think this was, these were the two leading candidates. And I think that this was essentially, put in sports terms, this was the two best teams going at it, you know? And so it could go one way or the other. And I think clearly there were a lot of people thinking it would go to Lily Gladstone. I think even Emma Stone thought it was going to go to Emma Gladstone because she said on the stage, "Lily, I share this with you." So clearly there was some perception that this might go to Lily Gladstone, and maybe for historic reasons, you could say should go to someone like Lily Gladstone. And I think that's why it went on second to last, is because I think they were hoping for the historic moment of a Native American woman winning an Academy Award, something that there in Oscar history, the treatment of Native Americans in cinema has not been, has never been very good. I think that's fair to say. And even going back to, I don't remember which award show it is, a Native American woman got on stage to present, and she started to call out how Hollywood portrays Native Americans, and they booed her. The actors and the directors, the filmmakers of her day booed a woman for saying Native Americans are treated poorly. And then I don't remember who, I think it might have been John Wayne. Someone came on right after. I don't want to, John Wayne kind of sucks. So, but I don't mind disparaging him. Somebody came on after and then like just crapped on her again and people cheered for him. So this would have been a historic moment. I think the directors of the show clearly were expecting it to be. And it just didn't work out. But when Poor Things started cleaning up earlier in the show, I really thought that there was a very good chance at that point that like Yorgos or Poor Things might win in those categories, that they were nominated, Best Picture and Best Director. So I think that Emma's a great actress. I've been a big fan of Emma Stone for over a decade now. So I'm happy for her. And I think that if anybody had to beat Lily Gladstone, it's going to be Emma Stone.
You had quite an opinion on that for someone who saw neither film, David.
I'm speaking on the generalities. That? I'm speaking on the generalities. You know, eventually I'll see both films. But oh, that was
it was very eloquent for someone who was talking fully out of his ass.
You know what? I got a BA in BS, you know. I have long been able to fake it until I make it.
Exactly.
So,
I love it.
But I, my perspective is more on the history.
You still nailed it somehow.
So yeah, I'll take it. Cut that out. Put that on the web.
You absolutely did. All right. Final awards of the night. Let's just go ahead and talk about these in tandem here. Best Picture and Best Director. We've got Chris Nolan gets his first directing nomination, or not nomination, first directing trophy, and his first Best Picture win with Oppenheimer. Now, this is the one where, Garrett, you were right. You said in our first episode of the month that you were really feeling the Oppenheimer train was strong, and this is where it did not upset. Oppenheimer took home the big awards of the night. Reactions. I don't think they're a surprise, but...
No, I think this show, as we talk through it and see who won and how things panned out, I'm really pleased with the spread, I think, overall. You know, I think that the movies that won in each of the categories, the surprises, I think they were all really well-deserving. And I think that Christopher Nolan and Oppenheimer were still shown as the best overall pictures. Mm-hmm. You know, just because you're the best overall picture doesn't mean you have to win every single category. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, the production value in Oppenheimer was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But I think that, again, the originality from Poor Things was just superior, and that shown for originality, so good for them. But what was put together, the sum of the parts adding up to the whole of the piece was just beautiful in a lot of these movies. And I just think that this one really did a good job of putting that whole storytelling together, and that is a credit to Christopher Nolan and his vision for this movie. So... well done. Well deserved. Really, really happy to see Chris with an Oscar now.
Yeah, I as a longtime Chris Nolan fanboy, it's hard not to just be excited for him. And I know that there's a perception of Chris Nolan fanboys, but like a big part of my movie journey has been trying to expand my horizons. And but at my core, I still love Memento. I still love The Prestige. This was something that really, you know, Chris Nolan is a guy who sparked a lot of my interest in the ways you can tell a story. And so I'm over the moon to see him win an Academy Award. Personally, there might have been other films that I would have preferred, other films of his that I would have preferred to see win Best Picture. That said, I still love Oppenheimer. It's still in my top five
Nolan films. That's the one you mean, right?
No. Either you want to know? I would say either Interstellar or The Prestige. I'd go with either of those.
Those are decent. Yeah, those are good choices.
So those are the ones I would go with personally. Those are my best pictures for Chris Nolan. But so I'm really happy. I think it is deserved. I think that this was a really great list of films. You know, I'm looking at the ESPN numbers, and it was picked by 84% of people who took part in the ESPN fantasy draft. The second highest was Barbie with 6, and then everything else. Oh, Killers of the Flower Moon got 3. Poor Things got 2. Everything else got 1 except Maestro. They got 0%.
Yeah, that's about it. That's what it deserves, Bradley.
But of the films I've seen, I think I've seen 5 of the 10, 4 of the 10 maybe. This was the one that stood out to me, so I'm really glad. But they were all, I think all of them were really great this year. What about you, Josh? Yeah, what did you?
I picked Oppenheimer. I'm fine with Oppenheimer. I can't disagree with anything you've said here. There's a lot of good picks in this year. Honestly, there's probably about half the field where if any of them had won, I'd have been just as happy. A Poor Things win would have been cool. Killers of the Flower Moon would have been cool. Barbie would have been cool. There's American Fiction would have been cool. There's plenty of options here where I'm like, okay, these are all really good movies that each deserve to be here. And that is not always the case in these, ever since they started going up to 10 nominees, especially. So it's cool to see so many great films represented here. I don't know. All in all, I'm pretty happy with it. It maybe wasn't the most exciting Oscars night, but nobody got hit. Mm-hmm. No, nothing crazy happened on the TV. No major. I don't think anyone was like majorly upset. So, I'm gonna give it a good grade.
Despite what some say, it wasn't overly political.
No, it really wasn't.
We talked about it a little bit off screen, but you know, like it was a pretty tame show. I think all things considered.
Is there one more thing that stood out to anybody? Anything like one more thing? Because for me, I really enjoyed the best song performance from the Osage Singers. Yes. For me, that performance was really wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a moment that's really going to stand out, especially down the line.
Yes, and many people are going to point this out, but the I'm Just Ken performance referencing Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. Is that the right one? It's also kind of, you know... It indirectly is a reference to Material Girl by Madonna, because that's a reference to Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. So that was a great fun performance too. The In Memoriam was good, you know, like that. I saw some complaints that they were focusing too much on the ballet and happening in front of it, but we lost a lot of great people last year. It was it's always nice to remember them.
Yeah, I also Josh felt like some of the musical performances may have been shortened a bit, which was nice, made everything go speedier. So all in all, pretty decent. Let's bring this ship home. So with Oppenheimer's win, this becomes the 8th best picture winner that we have reviewed here on So Many Sequels, which is exciting. Can see the full list of best picture winners that we've done by following the show on Letterboxd. Yeah, that's right. You can follow the show there as well as each of us individually. Isn't that crazy? Follow So Many Sequels Pod on Letterboxd. You can get the list of everything we're covering there, and then follow us individually. You guys know our names. You can find them in the show notes there, our different handles to follow us there. We're not done with Oscars month, though. We're gonna see March through here. We've got Best Picture winners coming up all month long. If you missed our preview, we've got In the Heat of the Night from Garrett, we've got The Sting from David, and Amadeus from me. So we're very excited about this. Very excited about this month.
It's going to be a great month.
Yeah, I think so too.
Best picture winner after best picture winner.
Yes, winner after winner. So be sure
we may redrop Oppenheimer as well. Ooh, we reviewed that last year.
Yes, good call on that. We may drop our old Oppenheimer review back in the feed if you missed it the first time. So be sure to check that out when you see it. The next episode you will hear, though, will be in the heat of the night. You can find that in your podcast feed. Wherever you subscribe to podcasts, just subscribe to the show there. Or you can get the video of your version on YouTube. We're really pushing to get to our next subscriber goal of 121 people. So get on there. Mm-hmm. So many sequels on YouTube, and help us get to that goal. Finally, you know, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on social media. We're on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and Facebook. And then you can find links to all that stuff at somanysequels.com.